Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
Welcome to Neighborhood Church. Good to see you all this morning. Good to see you guys talking with each other. I'm Nikki. I'm one of the pastors here. And this guy, come on over.
I was observing.
Come to say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. It's good to see you. Keep connecting. It's a great way to spend our morning is saying hi to all of our friends we haven't seen in a while. We'll get started here in a little bit.
Special welcome to everyone who's watching on our website. You guys belong and everything's connected. Another Sunday. We're here. We made it through another week to another Sunday.
I just over your shoulder. Hey, let me be friends.
Maybe you might need a puppet.
Hey.
Or you are the puppet.
You can pretend to be the puppet. When this is the time to start our puppet ministry, everyone, I think this is it. This will launch my puppet career.
I saw something really funny on the Facebook last night. It was a gal, makeup tutorials, maybe I'm the only one who's watched those before, right? We've got extra time, so we're watching things, but it was a couple, and he was behind her. It was like one of those sketches, so it's her, but with his arms, and he did all of her makeup I had kind of a rough day yesterday, so watching that got me giggling pretty good. Because he would just pick up whatever. He can't see, so he's just picking up mascara. It's all over, and she's laughing. And I thought, what a great way for the two of them to have some joy together.
It is good.
Maybe, Chris, makeup tutorial?
Yeah.
Later.
I see that there's some comments about me not wearing a hat. Yeah, I'm a human too, everyone. I have hair. I have feelings too. I just want to remind you of that.
I think your hair is awesome. I love that it's just getting
wild.
And there's the girth of your hair and beardedness.
And like how gray it is. I love it. Lommel, nice to see you, buddy. Nice to have everyone on. All right, I do have one request, and I'm going to say it again in a little bit. I would love kids, teenagers, adults, anyone. I'd like the best picture you have of me, of like drawing a picture of me that represents me, and like, cause I'm a big fan of myself and I need a good laugh. And I always find it funny when people are like, oh, this is what I think Chris looks like. Cause I'm a specimen, right? I am ripped. And so I just wanna see that reflected in all the drawings that we have as well. Donnie, nice to see you, friend. Ed, nice to see you. The Rick family. Thank you. I know the Rick family and the Winters last night in a Soren Van Tassel. The Block Party did their game last night, the Drawful 2 thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a great game. If you want a good time with your friends, buy the game Drawful online. It's wonderful. It's good. High school yearbook pics. Yes, if you have those. I have mine. I still think, my brother has not done it. My brother has the best yearbook photo because it's him wearing the Irish flag holding a potato that's on fire.
Right, because, well, his, explain why.
I don't know.
Oh,
why.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's fun to light a potato on fire, but it was that whole season of lighting their hockey sticks on fire, right? They put that special goo at the hockey sticks and basketballs.
No,
yes.
It was not goo, honey. No, it was a special goo. It was a special effect. It was
goo.
It's like
their sticks were actually on fire? No. Oh, that's worse than I thought they were actually like, let's
No, it was like a post production they could do. It's like the before Adobe was Adobe.
That's lame.
I love that you thought there was really lame. Fire on potatoes. That'd be dangerous.
Hockey is dangerous, man.
Potatoes are dangerous.
Yeah.
Man.
Ireland, dangerous.
The funny thing is that we are Irish, but we're also German, too. So, but my brother and I both mostly identify as Irish, and that's why he wore the flag. Mine,
German, though.
No, I'm not. I'm mostly Irish. No.
Yes.
I don't want to
listen to this. I am not here right now. I think we're all chanting.
Okay, hold on.
Let's turn this around. No, what do you actually want to say?
My senior pick, I'm with my Bible.
Yes.
Right? I was with my Bible because that's what rock stars do. So, and I also have one playing
bad.
My Ovation guitar.
There are worse things you could have been holding.
Like potato on fire?
No, I mean, it's sweet.
Literally on fire.
We're digging back into all the old, like looking at all... our wedding photos and pictures of when we were kids, because there's just extra time to be reflective and cleaning out closets and all of that. So if that's happening to you, if you're digging through all your pictures, don't hate on your younger self, okay? And the things that you loved and enjoyed to do. It's good to find some appreciation for who we are and were and are moving to, if that meant that you were lighting a potato on fire. I don't know. One of the practices I'd like us to do today during our worship time, we're going to start in with some worship here, is if you have a piece of paper handy, or if you want to just go ahead and do this in your brain, something that's really important in this time is that we're practicing gratitude. Oftentimes, I've heard this saying many places, but the negative things often stick to us like Velcro. So if you're feeling like all the hard, hurtful things are sticking to you, that's what happens. We kind of hold on to those things. And then the good, our good positive things are like Teflon. They kind of just bounce off us. They don't stick. So in order to kind of reverse that, we have to sit with those good things longer to help them to last. So as we, when we do move into worship, you're back.
I'm back.
You're back. As we do move into worship, one of the things I'd love to have you do is write those 10 things down, 10 things that you're really grateful for or that are really good. And then I'd love for you to share them. If you feel comfortable sharing them as we're singing and worshiping, there's something about even seeing what other people are thankful for that can inspire some of that gratefulness in us too. So just start that. I know I liked for somebody to give me a heads up for what's expected. And even though do it if you want to, if you're like, I don't, I already did that all week, that's fine too. But
can I add one more thing to that too?
Of course.
I would say not just share it like on social media, if there's a specific person that's on that list, to maybe share that with them specifically. Because we need to hear all that. We need to hear all that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're officially starting. Now it's time to get professional.
It's too late.
I like just being like the guy, the floating head. That's good. All right. So hopefully we made 50 deliveries of coffee and donuts. And this was Bree Thompson's idea, just so everyone knows. She's like, you know, it'd be great. We could support local businesses, which was Duluth Coffee Company and Johnson's Bakery. Johnson Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove and delivered 50 of those things. I drove for 3.5 hours.
You loved it. Don't be like, oh, I had to drive.
Listen,
Chris loved it.
Wagon,
I gotta go,
my
honey.
Fist on top of the car.
I gotta be in the car for three hours.
It was awesome. So we are bringing like another 70 on this Tuesday. I know I heard from some people like, well, I didn't get any, but
we're
coming your way. If you do not get them this Tuesday, we for sure do not have your correct address. So on our website and on our social media, there is a tab that you can hit at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. You can click on that and update all your information. And even if you are watching this for like 3 seconds, and this is the 3 seconds you're watching, yes, you can get coffee and donuts. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is fill out that form and we'll deliver it. And we'll text you before we are coming so that if you would like to like say hi, you can. Or if you would not like to say hi, you don't have to. Or if you are somewhere else, we will leave it on your doorstep. But it was, mm-hmm. It was good for both of us. But I loved being able, like I got to see Heather Crone. Oh, it was so wonderful. I got to see Sarah. I got to see some friends, and it was good. It was really good. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this Tuesday you're going to see, I think there's 7 of us doing deliveries on Tuesday. It's going to be fun.
I don't know why, but when you were talking, I felt like we should have special hats.
What has nothing to do with what? Every week we just get new hats.
Just a special hat.
That's good.
I don't know. Like a delivery elf hat.
For delivery?
For delivery.
Oh, I think
like about, this.
I thought you were talking about like right now. I'm like, that is the most
random
thing.
Right,
like, we should have new hats when we talk.
We could. Switch it out.
Okay, other thing. So if you want donuts, make sure you put it on there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, the governor. What's the governor's name?
Tim Walz.
Yeah. He has asked that everyone wear face masks. That's everyone, right? Everyone to wear face masks. To wear face masks.
It's a place of no judgment.
The house, right?
Encouragement here.
And we bought, I think, 88 bandanas like 2 weeks ago. It took a long time to get, but they finally came in. And so if you need a bandana and some rubber bands to make a mask, we have them and we're willing to deliver them. So same thing.
You can deliver them with your donuts.
You can deliver them with your donuts. So just please, if you want those, you can reach out to us on our website or you can text us on our phone number because we want to do everything we can to help.
And thank you to all the people who are already making masks. I've seen that all over that you're firing up your sewing machines for a different cause. And I just say thank you. Thanks for using your creativity in that way too. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So everything else I've mentioned at the time, if you want to give or we want to have a prayer request or any of those things, you can go on our website, neighborhoodchurchmn. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it.
And if you have hat ideas.
Yeah.
Love to see your hat ideas.
That's not a bad idea.
See?
Okay.
You're warming to it.
And even in our comments.
You're warming to it.
Bree put in our comments right there, the website you can click to update your address as well. Okay.
Hi.
I guess that's your luck for you to leave.
I don't know, it wasn't, but it worked. I don't know. All right, friends, we're gonna worship together this morning. Let me move some stuff, get myself situated here. So the two songs we're singing this morning, if you want to follow along, Oceans by Matt Crocker and Joel Houston, and then Holy Spirit by Brian and Kate Torwalt. A couple of familiar ones for us that we've been singing for a while. One of the things that I was praying over and meditating over this week, one of the things I was supposed to see was that as we're walking and carrying a lot of fear right now, is that oftentimes we can feel like we're being swallowed by the fear instead of imagining that we are being carried in the middle of that. So instead of feeling like the waves of fear are just like pouring over us and we have no control over it, that we're actually in the ocean with the waves. Like we're present with God. We're hidden with Christ in God. And so I kept having that visual just of the water and being, I don't have to run away from fear. Like I am totally aware of my fear right now, but that I have faith at the same time. I can have both of those things. So this is a song that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking about water. Of course, the song Oceans. But even what it talks about, that we get to call on the name of God, that we're present with God, that God is present with us, and that we can keep our eyes above the waves. That even if they're, even if you're feeling right now like the waves are going over your head, and you just can't stand up any further, that God is present with you in it, and that our God holds us. You called me out upon the water, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I'll find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. that I am grateful for this morning. And if you're just joining us, one of the things I was encouraging you to do as a part of our worship practice this morning is to write down the things that you're grateful for, places where maybe you've seen beauty this week, as we continue to sing here. And I am really thankful for music. I'm thankful that we were able to, whether or not that's pick up an instrument and play it, or whether we're whistling a tune, or whether we go outside and we just hear the music around us. I've been totally loving going outside and hearing the birds waking up and welcoming springtime. And so I'm so thankful to our Creator for everything that He's created in nature. I'm thankful for the music that's everywhere for us. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. We're in your presence, Lord. And we are in God's presence all the time. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves. My heart becomes free. My shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Let's sing that again. There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. We're in your presence. Become free, and our shame is undone. It's undone in your presence. We're in your presence, Lord. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place, fill the atmosphere. In your glory. Good God is with us all the time. So even when we sing this, and it sounds like we're kind of calling God to come out of the heaven to us, what we believe is that God is already with us. It's more about us recognizing that God is already here. So really calling that out, that recognition that our God is with us, and that we long to see God's presence in everything that we do. All the time. Thanks for singing with me, and I hope that you find music everywhere in what you're doing. Chris, you can come on over.
We're married. We don't have to be 6 feet apart.
No.
Love. You're welcome for that. All right. That was good. I love seeing all the hearts in the comments. I had one of my former classmates from Carleton, no big deal, to the lead school, and said that his four-year-old was convinced that Nicki was Taylor Swift, and said, she sounds just like her, that's Taylor Swift. So I like that. That's really good. So today, or actually last week, we talked on, hold on, I got to start with this. I think what you feel is valid. I don't think that I know that. Our feelings and what we feel are real and they exist. And even coming here, Nicki and I were talking, just like, it's just been a harder couple of days. And woke up this morning and wasn't like, woo, let's go have some fun. It was out in my backyard with my beautiful little baby puppy and some coffee, and I heard the birds sing. And even then I'm like, I think I'm just done. That's how I feel today. I feel done. So I just wanted to say to all my friends who are feeling the feels this morning, you don't need to overfunction. You don't need to overperform. You don't have to play to some ideal that you have to be something better than the real you and what you're feeling right now. Exactly who you are is enough. And last week we talked a little bit about that. It was Resurrection Sunday. And what resurrection means is that there's new life. Resurrection says there's a new way of being, that the old system of violence, of bloodshed, of oppression, of that this God is at a place at a certain time in a specific venue, like in this death and resurrection, that death is no longer the enemy, but it's through death, through dying, through getting low, that there is new ways of operating, there's new systems, there's new life. And I love it. And all week, thinking about the whole newness, there's something just underneath the surface. I'm like, what is it? There's something that stands out. I'm like, oh, yeah, the resurrection makes like that we have a new way of doing life. And currently, we're in a brand new way of doing life with COVID-19. I'm like, yeah, there's like something new in the newness. And we got to talk about that. So this is like part two, right? Part two from the newness thing. Because when new things like are good, but new things can also be scary. Especially, it can be scary to other people. When you have a group of friends and you have a way of doing things, and you pause and you say, you know what, I think I'm going to adjust what I'm going to eat. I'm going to change the way I'm drinking, or the way that I'm laughing, the way that I'm operating. Other people can say, that's great, we support you. And there's other people saying, whoa, 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 what does that mean about me? Right? Like, I don't know, we've always done it this way. We've always said these things. We've always celebrated this way. I know for me, when all right, Cole first went to school and he was learning math, and he came home and needed help with his math. And I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I'm great. I have a brilliant mind. And sat down, and the way that they were doing like quick math and how they did things like in, do you remember this, Nicki? They did like stacks. They did like, and it was totally different from the way that I was taught and I remembered. And I'm like, whoa, 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 no, Cole, this is wrong. Is the word I use, right? Why? Because the way I've done it is right. Clearly the way that I do it is right. And there's a right way and a wrong way. Because this idea was new. It felt foreign to me. But we're in a time, right, where everything is new. Everything is new. Like, you are now the teacher, right? You are learning new things. Kira came to me with how to multiply like 5 times a 3 or 4 digit number. And I'm like, yeah, totally, we got this. And I couldn't figure it out. We both watched the Khan Academy videos, and we both learned something that day, my friends. So there's new teachers. There is new hiding spots for you to hide from your partner or from your kids, right? You're finding inventive ways to be outside. You have finally met your neighbors. You know, you've lived in the house for like 7 years. Everybody's walking, right? There's something new, but that new feeling isn't always met with joy. It's not always met with celebration. It can feel scary because, like, we don't know what's going to be on the back end of this. I've been having lots of dreams of me falling. And so if you're like, you are like a psychologist, I could use your help. But I had these dreams of falling because somehow in my brain's trying to figure out, like, what's going to happen? I'm trying to process, where are we going? Where are we headed? Like, as a family, as a community, as a neighborhood church. And lucky for us, the Bible is riddled with these stories of that there's something new to be had, there's something new to be lived, there's something new to be experienced that I think is, will be very helpful. So last week we talked the story of Mary's in the garden, right? And Jesus right in front of her, she can't see him. And because she had a system of when people die, they stay dead, right? That's a normal, healthy thing. People die, they don't live. Her friend was murdered. And so it's gone. Everything that she had, everything she believed, it was no longer there until Jesus what? Sees her and speaks her. He notices her. And then she moves into a different way of seeing. This happens as well. Jesus talks about this all over the place. He shows up on the scene and he says the kingdom of God is at hand. No longer is the kingdom of God somewhere else, in something else, in someone else. It's right in front of you. It's a new way of operating. And one of my favorite stories is the prodigal son. And I'm going to give you the quick version. There's this wealthy family, and Jesus is telling stories, right, where you can insert yourself into the story. That's how a parable works. It's meant to be relevant to the people at that time. And he tells a story about a wealthy family. Son comes up to him and says, hey, Dad, big fan of you, but I want my inheritance money. And the dad says, well, I don't know if you know how it works, but usually I die, then you get the money, and I don't plan on dying in the next couple minutes. And the son says, yeah, I don't care. Just give me my money. And because this dad loves his son in a different way, which we see in the back end, but we see in the beginning, this is a dad that gives love, period. All right? So takes money, goes and parties, and loses all of it. He's eating with the pigs, and he comes to mind. He says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my dad. I'll apologize, and at least I can just work for him. I can just be just some hired hand, at least have food to eat in place. So he practices his speech, he shows up, and when his dad sees him, his dad runs to him, and he's trying to say, Father, I'm sorry, I just want to live like in the hen house. And the dad like shuts him up, puts the robe around him, and says, son, tonight is Coachella. This is where Coachella started. This is a fact, right? He's like, I got Beyonce, I got a marching band, it's going to be lit, and we're going to have the biggest party. Why? Because this is what love does. We celebrate, period, when people show up. When we thought something was dead and they come back and they walk back into the farm, back into the living room, back into our lives. It's not this test of like, well, how desperate are you? And you have to sign this policy and you have to follow these rules. It's just Coachella and Beyonce and drums and singing and Chris dancing in really short shorts. That's what happens. But I think the most important part of the story is what happens next. The dad, because he loves his sons, clearly, right? He notices other son's not around. So he goes and he finds this other son. His son is just a little bit off away from the party. He goes up to his son and he goes, son, why aren't you here? Like Coachella, right? Beyonce, she's right there. You can hear her, right? You can experience all this. And the son goes, Dad, I did everything right. I did exactly what you taught me to do. You told me this is what love looks like. This is what honor looks like. This is what respect looks like. This is what a healthy man does. I stayed. I did the jobs. I did the work. I honored. I respected my family. And what do I get? Right? A firm handshake, look in the eye. What do I get? My deadbeat brother insults us, takes your money, parties it all away, and he comes back and he gets a party. He gets Beyonce. That's not how it works, Dad. This is how we've always done it. And the father's response is one thing, it's like a mantra I say over and over and over again. You've heard me say it a bunch here. And the father says, son, everything I have is yours. And I'm with you always. And the profoundness in this is that what he's telling his son, yeah, you stay, you do all the right things. You stay and you performed, and even then, everything I have is yours. I'm with you always. But even if you didn't do it all right, even if you made one mistake, even if you left and went over there, even if you went over there and you partied, even if you like fell apart, or you did even more, everything I have is yours. And I am with you always. It's not tied to your system. It's not tied to your performance. It's not tied to if you are good or better or the best. It's tied to that you exist. And since you exist, since you are mine, no matter where you go in this world, no matter how you perform or underperform, you get the best of me. And I'm with you always. And that's what we're doing with your brother. That's why. Can you not hear the party? And the son can't even participate in the party, in the life, in that flow, in that energy, because he's saying, no, that's not how it works. You see how we stuck? Jesus is inviting us into, there is something new to be experienced. We see this in the life of Peter, right? Peter is the one who lost in the foot race to John in John chapter 20. He looks in, body's not there. Peter goes back and hides. And Peter is on a boat and he's fishing because that's what he does. It's actually where Jesus first found him. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to make you. And Jesus, I don't know why Jesus talks like that. So I'm like, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, right? It's like a bad Jerry Seinfeld impersonation. why am I talking about that? Fisher of men. He's saying who you are, your talents, your expertise, your skills, like who you are at your core is beautiful. And we're going to take all those things you know and we're going to elevate it because that's what this God does. And we're going to shape and impact like the people in this world. And you don't have to be something more than a fisherman. You don't have to be some prominent theologian. You don't have to be this great person. You can just be you. And we're going to take that and we're going to change the world. And Peter went all in with the Christ. He was all in. He gave his money, his reputation, his energy, right? He cut a guy's ear off for Jesus. And he fought hard. And he said, I'll never deny you, Jesus. That didn't work out so well, right? But Peter was all in. And what do you do when you go all in for 3 years of your life? You drink the juice, you buy in 100%. And all of a sudden, that guy willingly gives up his life. That guy loses. That guy gets murdered. That guy gets mocked. What do? You go back. You hide for a little bit. But then you go back to who you were. You go fish. Because that's all you're ever going to be. That's all who I'll ever be as a fisherman. So I'll just stay at the place where I have a limit, where I know what is comfortable. I know what is familiar. I know what is expected of me. I know the language. I could do this in my sleep. Why? Because to dream, to move forward, no. I have to stay here. And this is what happens, friends, when we're presented with something new. Because what happens next? With Mary, Mary says, no, people don't come back from the life, from death. This is just how it is. Jesus says her name, and there is this urgency. There is this explosion of intimacy where she cries out and says, teacher, right? And she moves towards the Christ. We see the same thing in the dad to the son. The son moves towards the father, expecting judgment, expecting to be tolerated. And there's this explosion of love and urgency that moves towards the son. And we see Peter, the same thing. He's out just fishing, doing his thing. All of a sudden, he sees the Christ. He sees his friend. He sees Jesus. And what does he do? He explodes off the boat, jumps off the boat into the water, and there's this urgency. And he stands before Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He feeds him. Because that's what this God does. So here's where I end, right? How does this have to do with something new? We are living in a time where everything is new. I heard one person talk on a podcast, Kristen Bell, and she talked about, people keep saying back, when are we going to go back to normal? Like, when are things going to change back to normal? Like, things are not just changed. This isn't some like little blip on our trajectory of our life. This is a transformation, right? Everything has changed. And what is normal? Normal is this idea that we come up with like in our brain of when we know what is familiar, what brings us comfort, what brings us joy, what we know to be true, and we know all the rules. Normal. That's what we believe normal is. And I can tell you, we're not going back to normal because there's a new normal, right? There's a new way of being through COVID-19. So here's three things we could take away. First thing we have to do is this, is that we have to be willing to look back. We have to look back at the things that were normal, the things and the systems and the people and our rhythms, and maybe sadly our jobs. And we need to grieve. We avoid grief. We don't like it. We think grief is like a poo-poo party, poop, party pooper. Is that what you say? We treat grief as like we just don't want to be around it, but we need to grieve. And you have to name it. Like, what is this shutdown exposed in your life? Because if you're paying attention, it's exposed a lot. I'll share some of mine. And at first when I wrote this, I like wanted to apologize for having a feeling, right? Because we do this, we project, we're saying, well, what I'm grieving is pale in comparison to what's happening in New York City right now. And the truth is, yeah, it does, but you still feel it, it's still valid. For me, like just a couple days ago, we finally saved enough money to go see our favorite, one of my favorite bands, The National. They're coming to Minneapolis and they're playing in July. And they haven't canceled yet, but there's no way. There's just no way that it's gonna happen. And when I thought about that, I'm like, oh, my time to see my favorite band. My family's sick of hearing the same song over and over again. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to die to that. Like, that's not gonna happen for a couple years. Other things that might get exposed is how you view money. Like, why save? Why save when I can spend it now, right? I imagine that some of you are feeling that. Maybe your mental health. Like, I don't need a therapist. I don't need to go see a professional, right? All I need is the blood of Christ, right? All I need is someone just to pray for me. And those are both positive. But maybe you're realizing that there is more anxiety in your life. Maybe you realize that there is some triggers that are happening and you need help. That's a good thing to have exposed. Maybe it's your body. And you are noticing things about your body because you have paused. You've been slowed down. Maybe you've noticed that you are bored. And you're not just bored because you're sitting at home. You realize you've been bored for years with your job, bored with your relationships, right? Maybe you've noticed toxic things of what you eat or what you drink or what you consume. Like, we need to notice those things, because here's what you do. When those get exposed, imagine it's like a backpack and you're taking things out and you're looking at them one at a time and you have to decide, am I going to take that with me moving forward? Or am I going to take that and just put it on the shelf and let that be? Other things that have gotten exposed is not just in our individual lives, but in our communities, in our country, and our systems. And they should be exposed. Like, what if things that we thought are fair aren't as fair as we think they are? Like, why in Detroit and Chicago that a disproportionate amount of people of color and the mortality rate is significantly higher, right? Why is there so many infections? Like, maybe our system aren't as fair as we think they are. And that needs to be exposed, right? It needs to be exposed. Our bias needs to be exposed. What are we gonna do with it? Maybe something to do with, like, why is our healthcare system the way it is? And why is our healthcare attached to our jobs? If I don't have a job, what about healthcare, right? And some of you might be thinking, oh, Chris is going left, right. No, I'm just saying things are being exposed and we have to be able to look at them and we need to grieve it, okay? Because if you don't notice it, if you can't see it, then you can't move forward. Then, like, the next thing is we have to look back, grieve it, but then we have to surrender to what is. We have to surrender to the reality that things are new, that things are different. We have to surrender to the moment and say, yes, this day I am anxious. This day I am bored. This moment I feel peace or I feel grateful. But if we don't do that, then we're going to be like the brother that's stuck off a couple blocks away from Beyonce, and we can't hear the party, we can't enter the party, we can't enter that flow, because we're still holding on, saying, no, this is the way it always has to be. We have to go back, because when we go back, it's right. And when it's right, I'm okay. Instead of saying, what if there's a new way of doing things? You have to surrender to that, and it is hard. Because I won't lie, there's things I want to go back to. But when we can surrender to that, and we can say, in this moment, I am good. In this space, there is a God that is within, and this God is good enough for me right now. It's when we do that, that we can move our heads up just a little bit higher, and we can begin to dream what could be. Because in these new places, right, there's gonna be new ways of doing things, new systems, new operations. But if you don't ask the question, if you don't dare to dream, then we won't be able to do it with purpose, right? Like, what do you want? Like, those of you who are in relationships, what do you want your relationship to look like between you and your partner? What is it you really want? And begin to dream. What would make me feel loved? What about, like, your job? What do you want your job to be? I have a friend who had a job and got laid off, but stayed in the job because that person was good at their job and made good enough money. But when they got laid off, they began to dream of, like, what would be my dream job? What is it I really want in a job? And, like, began to take steps to move towards it. I love that. That's a growth mindset of, like, this is good. this is fine, but like what else? Like, what do you want in your circle of friends? Like, what is it that you really want to like celebrate and laugh with and be and do? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your personal health? What do you want for your finances? What do you want about this one? What about the way that we see God? What do you want from this divine? Like, I can tell you one thing. I will not say their name. There's a prominent Christian celebrity, I think that might be the word, right? And said, oh, yep, God caused COVID-19 to teach us a lesson and for us to repent and then, I don't know, get moved towards God. And I can just tell you right now, right? God did not send this. This was not God saying, all right, buckle up, world, here we go. And why? Because we have a Jesus-looking God. And I don't remember the story where Jesus is standing with the 12 disciples and he kicks off four off a cliff and says, all right, you guys afraid enough to follow me now? You guys learned your lesson? It's not how it works, right? And this might, it's in these moments, in these crises, in these pauses where you might rethink of, well, what do I believe to be true about God? And that is a beautiful place to be. Because when we start dreaming, we move into a different reality. We move into a different space of where we begin to be using ingenuity and new dreams and new energy and moving. And I can tell you this, your community needs it. Like your neighborhood needs it. There's new ways of doing that we're desperate for. I can tell you this, our church needs it. Neighborhood church needs it. Like Nikki and I have been going on walks and talking about what does it look like for neighborhood church moving forward? Because like we could just go back to like what we did in, we've been in our new space, Nikki, for it was like 5 weeks, right? We spent all January like getting it all ready. And then it was like, yay, February. And then it was like, yay, March. Okay, COVID-19, right? Now you get close-ups of me every Sunday now, right? But we've been talking about like, what does it look like to move forward? We're gonna have to rethink how we do what we do. And I'm so excited about that because the needs in our community have changed. Like what people need to feel noticed and feel encouraged, to feel safe, those have changed. So friends, we need your dreams. And I'd say even you need your dreams. And we don't need to hold on to what was and like with a kung fu grip and just say, no, because there's something new in the air. And like resurrection life, we have a new light on the new day of a new week of new creation. And you get to participate and you get to play in it. And we get to play even now. So thanks, friends. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray. Yeah, let's pray. So God, we love you. I thank you that we are not alone. And that everything you have, you freely give to us. It is not somewhere else, but it's in us. And so we welcome that and we receive it. And I pray that we'd be able to grieve what was. We'd be able to see. And we'll see the beautiful things that was and the things that maybe aren't as great as we thought they were. And that we could surrender to this moment and we could be honest and true to what we feel. And I ask God for dreams that we'd be able to see what you are doing, that we'd be able to move into new spaces and bring life to people, that we can help and let people know that we see them. And I especially pray for my friends who are without work, who are struggling financially, who are battling through their addiction. To my friends their mental health is peaking. I pray for my friends who feel scared. God, will you come? And will you be with us and you rescue us again? And I pray you move in our mind, you move in our body, and move in our hearts. And use us to do good and beautiful things while we walk, while we sing, while we play, while we work. We love you. Amen. Yeah. So I'm really thankful I get to do this with you guys. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
And if there's anything we can do to partner with you, we're in your corner. Just let us know. We're going to let it run a little bit so you guys can finish jibber-jabbering, talking with one another. Love you, friends.